Are you ready? Sea of Red, it's time for another Fireside Chat, the official podcast of Flames fans. It's go time.
Well, same old, another rocky week for the Calgary Flames, even under Daryl Sutter, and of course, they somehow managed to win it when it's all said and done. So, as always, I'm Dan alongside Matt to break down this week, and Matt, overall thoughts on this week before we break it down game by game?
It's one of those things where the start of the week was very frustrating, but you could see elements where the Flames are starting to play Sutter's way. And the wins aren't coming. Like, the first three games, they did not win. Then they won the fourth one. But you're starting to see less mistakes overtly. Like, in each game, there were plenty of mistakes, but they're becoming less frequent and less disastrous. And the quality of play, shift to shift, is getting better. Not there yet, but it seems that, like, if you look at back when the LA Kings hired Daryl Sutter in the first place, it's not like the Kings just tore off right after hiring him. There was about a 10-game situation where they were kind of bad. They had a couple of decent games and then were just bad, frankly, for a while, and then were practically unbeatable after that. And they ended up winning the cup that year, but that's not the point. Like, I think Calgary, they had those first couple of games against Montreal and that first game against Edmonton when Daryl got hired, that they were playing really well. And, like, they completely obliterated Montreal in both the games. They were better than Edmonton in the first one. And then mistakes started happening, and I think it's just that, like, the players are learning Daryl's way, and they just haven't quite got everything down pat yet. It's getting there, but it's not quite there.
Well, Daryl even said the team looked dopey at one point this week, so definitely not getting there when your coach calls you dopey. But let's look at these games one at a time. On the 22nd, the Calgary Flames went to the nation's capital and played against the Senators. There's a 2-1 loss. Gustafson played his first NHL start and got the win against the Flames. And Matt, when I sum this one up, you know, I've gone back and watched some highlights a few times, and I would say for a team fighting for the playoffs, they really didn't look like they had enough desperation.
No.
I thought the Flames did okay defending in this one. They just didn't get enough done when they had the puck.
It's the old story with the Flames that, like, they gave up the early goal halfway through the first period, and it was a bit of a fluky mistake that allowed Dzingel to get that chance to score. And the Flames just kept pushing and pushing, generating some things, but not, like, as you said, not playing with that desperation of, oh, we're down. These 2 points are extremely important. We need them. They were just playing their normal game. And then they fought through, and with 5 minutes remaining, Gaudreau tied it up. And then the Flames stopped playing, and then the Ottawa Senators won the game. And if the Flames had played the last 5 minutes, they get 1 point, but they stopped skating. Ottawa just ran all over them, and it culminated in the game-winning goal by Chris Tierney, and another 2 points surrendered needlessly.
When Daryl Sutter was hired, our general manager, Brad Treliving, said in the press conference that this team seems to have two games, a D game or an A game, and this is one of those games where I didn't think Ottawa played well, and if we could have even played a B game, we probably would have won this one.
I think, honestly, if they played a C game, they win this one. This team, like, they're getting parts. Like, they did fire 35 shots on net. So, or 36, 35 saves for the goalie. They were generating offense. But against a team like Ottawa, you should be generating that level of offense. And you should be limiting Ottawa's scoring chances. And, yeah, Gustafson had a decent game, and he is going to be a good goaltender. I am very familiar with him as a goalie, and I actually do like him as a goalie. But, you know, it's like, it wouldn't matter if it was Dominic Hasek in your prime. This is a game that the Flames needed the 2 points, and they needed to figure out a way of getting pucks past Gustafsson. Because the rest of Ottawa is very pedestrian. You should be walking all over them and making it work.
And we've struggled with them all season.
Yeah, it's the classic, we play down to their level. And, like, Ottawa is embarrassingly bad, and we skate even beneath that.
Well, let's talk about playing down to their level in the next game. 2 days later on the 24th, Filip Gustavsson won for the second time in two starts as the Senators rallied to defeat Calgary 3-1 in this game. So this was Calgary's third loss in a row. The only Calgary goal in this one comes from the captain, Mark Giordano. And again, I just thought this was a game where the team just didn't look like they wanted to be there. They were playing a D game.
Yeah, and like they actually managed to get the lead and started the third period with the lead. All you need to do at that point, especially against a team like Ottawa, who really does not have a ton of offensive talent, is just play your normal north-south game and try to waste time in their end. Make them fight for time and space. But instead, it's like, oh, here you go, guys. You know, sorry that we have the lead. Here, just take it. And, you know, like, it was a 2-1 game with an empty netter. So, like, it's not quite as drastic. But, the point being is that, like, another 2 points that were just given away to a bad loser team because of carelessness. And, again, mistakes were not as prevalent overall. Like, they managed to limit the Ottawa Senators' shots to, like, 18 after two periods, which that's fairly decent. They were out shooting them. Like, if they just proceeded to just play the same way, even though they weren't having a great game through the first 40 minutes, they should have been able to get the 2 points. And them getting in their own way, it happens. And again, elements slightly that they're improving in certain aspects, but just still too many lazy mistakes and too much casualness overall.
Well, and I think, you know, that's an important thing, what you said. Too much casualness. For a team fighting for their playoff lives, they shouldn't be looking casual. Especially when you're playing against a team you should be able to get 2 points against.
Like, even if you're playing a C game, you should be getting 2 points. Like, Ottawa has, like, three players that are good. Like, you should be able to beat them. Like, any team should be able. Like, Edmonton has 7 wins against them. And they have 2 guys of their own. Like, you know, like, it shouldn't be a hard thing.
No, you're right. It shouldn't be. And I think, I think it's the story of the Calgary Flames, right? It's like you said, they play down to their opponents. They, you know, they give what they're getting back. And if this team was the way they are on paper, the way that they should be coming into this when everyone thought they'd be number one or two in the North, they should have no problem with Ottawa.
Well, frankly, if they were playing even B games through the first 36 games, they probably have 58 or 60 points at this point. Because the rest, frankly, the North Division should just be renamed the Loser Division, because all of the teams are bad in this division. Like, there is not one team at this point that is any good. Like, Winnipeg is 2 points out of first, and they're bad.
Well, and that's an interesting discussion, too, that we can have at another point, is, you know, if we still had the Pacific Division, where would all these teams be rated?
Well, like, frankly, if you transplant the Flames with how they've played thus far this season into any other division, our points are probably near where Buffalo's are. You know, and it's literally like a what the, you know, it's just that, for whatever reason, like, most of the bad teams are concentrated in Canada right now. It's just a fluke of how the building and rebuilding schedules for each of the teams. That's why Calgary should have walked away with this division or been there with Toronto. But they got in their own way. And, like, you know, it's one of those things. Like, Calgary does play down to their level of their opponent. And we're in the worst division, and so we're playing that bad. And, like, it's one of those where if you transplant, like, say, Nashville or Columbus into our division, they probably have 50 or 60 points right now. It, like, this division is really bad, and, like, it is up for the taking if you're actually playing the right way, which, you know, we haven't seen. And, like, that's what is so frustrating about the Flames, is that, like, if you're just playing an average game, you're going to beat Ottawa 9 times out of 10. But you're not even accomplishing that. And it's like, what is wrong with you?
Well, one of the teams trying to take our division, the Winnipeg Jets, were our next opponent for the next two games. They're second in the division right now and struggled to beat them, too. The game on Friday night, the 27th, the Flames were back home taking on Winnipeg and ended up losing 3-2 in this one against the Jets. And this was a game that, and we'll talk more about it a little bit later, but this is a game that you could tell the coach was not happy afterwards. This was, to me, another effort where the Flames came out and looked like they were playing their D game right from the beginning.
Yeah, and like it was like, oh, we got down 2-0 and we didn't play for the first 40 minutes. Oh, I guess we should try in the third period. And magically, they scored twice and looked really good in the third. And, you know, like if they had played 2 periods like they did the third, they win this game. But when you only show up for 20 minutes, again, it doesn't matter which team you're facing. Like, Winnipeg's lineup, other than the handful of forwards they have, are not fairly scary. And just like Toronto, they have a good bunch of forwards and not a ton else. And, you know, like, if you can just play sound defense and give an effort, like, you should be able to beat these teams. But
any thoughts specifically about this first Winnipeg game?
I mean,
we know we should be able to beat them if we play right, but based on what we did see from the Flames, is there really much to say here?
Again, in the third period, you saw the Flames playing more the right way. It's just too little, too late, too little, too late, too little, too late. And yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, for this one, I mean, when I look at this, the good players didn't look good, and I was going to say that, you know, the good players didn't look good, and the guys that, you know, aren't the good players did look good, but even they didn't look good. Nobody looked ready to go here. I mean, we saw Chucky score, we saw Lucic score, but I wouldn't say that either one of those guys put in a fantastic effort that night.
No. I thought, like, some of the players had, like, a C grade, and that was as best as you got, frankly, and most would be D's or F's, and, like, when you don't show up for 40 minutes, like, it wasn't like the Flames, oh, they were stymied by Hellebuck, like, there was not really any chances in the first 40 minutes that an NHL goaltender wouldn't stop easily. And it's like, okay.
And that's an interesting point, too. I mean, we talk about Hellebuck, and, you know, we had Markstrom in for this one. And, I mean, even Markstrom, he looked great at the beginning of the season, but he's starting to look tired.
Yeah, well,
I think it's hard for a great goalie like Markstrom to look good when he's not getting run support.
Yeah, and, like, frankly, I wouldn't mind them splitting games more evenly the rest of the way. Because Riddick's look good, so, you know, split them up. You know, like, when it comes time to the playoffs, if the Flames actually do make it, you know, having a tired Markstrom is not going to help our cause.
No, and even if they split it up, these goalies are working so hard during these games that it's going to be, They're still going to, you know, he's still going to be tired, or they're both going to be tired. So even if he does play a lot of the games, and even if we win them, we're making him work so hard, he's going to be tired either way.
Yeah. Well, frankly, like, even though he's struggled at times, like, Markstrom has been the only good player. Him and Riddick have been only good players for this team all season. Consistently.
I don't know if I'd say the only good players. The consistently good players, yes.
Yeah. Well, like, guys like Hanifin and Tanev have been fairly consistent, too. But
I would say that maybe the best way to say it is Riddick and Markstrom are the guys that have been consistently good enough to change our fortunes.
True.
Hanifin's look good, but Hanifin isn't in a position where he's going to change the Flames' fortune. Tanev, same thing, right? Those guys are in a position where they can make or break a win, and they've stolen some wins for the Flames.
Yeah, about 8 of them at this point, but yeah.
And then we played again Saturday night, Hockey Night in Canada, back-to-back, second game against the Jets, this one not wearing the Blasty jerseys, and the Flames ended their 4-game losing streak, which is a season high, with a 4-2 win over the Jets. In this one, we saw Daryl Sutter go back to the quote-unquote bubble lines, and the lines that we had for this game, at least start with, was Tkachuk, Lindholm, Mangiapane is the first line, Goudreau, Monahan, Brett Ritchie is the second line, Lucic, Backlund, Bennett is our third line, and Nordstrom, Ryan, and Lebo is our fourth line. Obviously, that fourth line wasn't part of the bubble, and neither was Ritchie, but as best we could, he emulated those. Yeah. And, you know, I thought this one, the Flames didn't get going until late in the second or third, but they also didn't shoot themselves in the foot in the first. I don't know if that makes sense, but often they'll come out and they'll be so blasé and playing that D game that they get themselves down. I didn't think that they were playing their D game in the first, but I don't think they really got themselves going. Maybe the best way to say it, as you said earlier, is they were playing a C+ game in the first and then finally kicked it up to an B game. I wouldn't even say an A game, but a B game.
Well,
in
like
the late second, third.
Well, honestly, like, the Flames did outshoot Winnipeg 16-7 in the first. So, you know, you do have to give some credit. Like, they were trying a little bit harder. And for generating scoring chances, perhaps not as much as either one of us would like, but, you know, they were eventually
able
to capitalize.
And to be fair, we probably would not have won this if Hellebuyck was in net.
No. Like, especially the 2 goals in the third period. The first two, those probably go in anyway, just because of the goal mouth scramble and then the deflection, because those either hit you or go in. But those 2 goals in the third period, those were really, really, really bad. Like, especially the Bennett one. Like, that was, yeah, not a good goal to give up. But, hey, we need a break every once in a while, and finally the Flames got one.
Well, and you know, you've got, and even Daryl said after this game, you know, he talked about the puck luck hasn't been going their way, and they got some puck luck tonight, and beggars can't be choosers. When you're fighting for a playoff spot, you got to take the 2 points however you can get them.
Exactly. And it doesn't have to always be pretty.
You don't get a third point for a pretty win.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes you just need to bang it in and hope for the best.
Going into this game, there was some banter between Daryl Sutter. I wouldn't say between Daryl Sutter and Johnny, but this was Johnny Goudreau's 500th game, and nice that they got a win for him. And before this game, Daryl Sutter was asked for his comments on Johnny's 500th game, and he said, "I hope he plays better than he did in his 499th game." And I'd say that Johnny did. He rose to the occasion. And we saw after this game, and I'll just read the quote here, Johnny was asked today, we're recording this on Sunday, so he was asked today what if he heard Sutter's comments on his energy level in game 499. And he said, "I've been playing hockey for 24, 25 years now, and I know when I played well and when I haven't." So, Matt, I mean, I don't like to see the player and the star player and the coach sort of bickering, but as Milan Lucic said when Daryl got here, Daryl find buttons you didn't know you had and he'll push them. And to me, that's just Daryl pushing Johnny's buttons, trying to get more out of him.
Well, honestly, with how this team has been for the last handful of years, good. Get him off balance. You know, like, make him mad. Like, you know, it's about time that these players are held accountable to each other, even.
I think so often, especially in this market, our star players have been protected to the media. So I think that, you know, having Daryl, the coach, come out and say that about one of the stars, I think that's definitely a very different way of throwing them off balance.
Yeah, well, and also, like, A, Darryl was accurate. Like, Gaudreau has been inconsistent as anybody. And, you know, Gaudreau does play better when he's not in a good mood. You know, like, if anytime I've noticed when he gets slashed in a certain way or whatever, he usually responds by scoring a goal or getting a couple of really good assists. And really, the Flames, in order to make the playoffs, they need Gaudreau to actually play like he cares.
So give Jelena a stick, and I'm standing behind him on the bench and just keep slashing him.
Yeah. Hey, move it. Keep going. Move it.
It's like, do you remember in school when there'd be that kid behind you just touch your head all day until you got really annoyed?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he's sitting on the bench, just keep tapping him. You know, Johnny.
Gotta keep skating, Johnny. Move your feet, Johnny. Come on. You know how to do it. You've been doing this for 24 years now. Come on. You know how to do it.
That's right. Come on, Johnny. Let's go, Johnny. Are you good yet? And then you'll piss him off and you'll go win for us.
Exactly.
You'll have your team assistant coach, and then you'll have your another. You have your assistant coach, your associate coach, and your annoyance coach.
Exactly.
Guy is just there to piss off the players.
Yeah, well, the Flames need to get somebody with an annoying voice to do that as well, just to, like, add layers on that, like, get a Gilbert Gottfried type, you know, just really irritate the hell out of them. And
there you go. Or just, you know, whisper in their ear, Johnny, are you gonna play yet?
We need a goal, man.
Are you ready yet, Johnny? Just as he comes in, he's drinking his purple Gatorade, you start whispering sweet nothings in his ear. That'd freak him right out.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, I mean, it's...
I need a trade just because the coaching staff is creeping me the...
Hey, Johnny, I saw a great place you looked at in New Jersey. If you don't play well, maybe they'll move you there. Have you seen this great house in Philadelphia?
You want to go to Buffalo?
That's how you get a guy who next year has a no-trade clause saying, anywhere but here. Yeah. Just get me the hell out of here.
Buffalo wants you. That's enough to motivate anybody.
But anyway, yeah. No, I mean, it's interesting to see Darryl pushing those buttons. And Johnny did respond better. Right, and no. We've saw Darryl, you know, earlier during his tenure, talk about how we don't have the firepower to compete with some teams and play a certain way, and you know, he's trying to get the best out of these players. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the exchange between the two.
Well, plus, you know, like, it has been frustrating seeing this team where, like, they do have a lot of talent on the team. It's just the motivation and getting, like, the on-paper talent to the on-ice results, a lot of that has been missed lately due to lack of effort. And so, like, if Darryl can get this team motivated by annoying and pissing them off, good. You know, at the end of the day, the only thing that really matters is how many wins are in the column. And as long as you get to the playoffs, because... Like, to me, like, if the Flames make the playoffs, it doesn't matter if we're the first, second, third, or fourth seed, because all of the teams that we would likely face are beatable in and of themselves. If you get there, that's the important part. And so, like, it really doesn't matter. And, like, even, like, when Darryl won with the Kings, like, they were the 8th and 6th seed. It didn't matter that they were the 8th and 6th seed. They still won the cup. And, like, Calgary, like, if Darryl can get the motivation out of them where they are actually giving the proper effort and playing the right system, then, you know, things might look up. It's just, can the Flames get out of their own way and get on that right page?
You know, Matt, as much as I didn't think they got going until later in this game, I do think that this game for the Flames was probably one of their most complete games. Like I said, they didn't come out of this game looking, you know, like a D game in the first. They played well enough that I think this is probably the best body of work you can look at for this team this year and say, you know what, that's what a 60-minute effort looks like. You're not going to get an A game every night for all 60 minutes, but you've got to at least play a B game to keep yourself in it.
No, and like if the Flames can figure out how to consistently get even a 40-minute effort and not like a disastrous 20 minutes, they'll win most of the games. Like, again, the Flames are in a weird situation where all of their opponents the rest of the way are beatable if they're just playing the right way. And, like, this team just has lacked that ability to have that consistent 20-minute, 40-minute, 60-minute efforts. And it's hard when Calgary, as you said, like, this game was probably their best full 60-minute effort other than those two games against Montreal right after Daryl got hired. And it seems that the Flames just need to keep improving steadily as games go on. And it's just frustrating that it's taking as long as it has. But if they can just keep it go, then we'll see.
Yeah, and Matt, I mean, that's the thing, right? Is we've seen this team play well for 40 minutes, but then they usually put in 20 minutes where they shoot themselves in the foot or they almost hand the other team the win. And at least there was no sustained pressure or sustained period in this game, I should say, where I looked at it and said the Flames are handing Winnipeg the game. And so while you might not look good for the entire 60, you've at least got to, you know, play all 60 where you're not handing the win to somebody else.
Yeah, like even though Winnipeg was able to get back and tie it early in the second, it was like not like the Flames how they normally would play, which would be to continue to spiral, give up another two or three goals, have a really disastrous second period, and then the game's over by that point. Like, they were able to stop it, pick up their game, and start taking it back to Ottawa or Winnipeg after that. It's just, you know, the next lesson, don't do
that. And they didn't
get
rattled at 2-2, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what we've seen from them so often is the other team will come back and they'll say, well, you guys wanted that badly? Okay, here, have it. And they didn't get rattled. They kept playing their game.
Yeah, so it's nice to see. And, like, this is where, like, I was saying that, like, you're starting to see elements of Daryl's way coming in little by little. And, you know, like, if the Flames can continue to progress and figure out the little details more, and, you know, like, on the Mason Appleton goal, like, you saw that Backlund and Lucic were both kind of frozen there, not sure which one of the two guys was supposed to go get Appleton, and giving him plenty of time and space to pick the spot that he needed to do to score. And where, like, if the system is down pat, like, Backlund, who probably should have been the guy to go get him, would just go get him, and Appleton would have to rush the shot, which Rittich probably stops or goes wide or it's blocked or. And, like, that's where, like, they still need to work out the kinks, but it is getting there.
And we're talking about how Daryl's trying to motivate Johnny in this one. Trying to motivate two other young players by sitting them out. Dubé and Valimaki both sat out this game. Michael Stone and Brett Ritchie drew into the lineup for both of them. And I have to say, for a guy who hasn't played in the NHL since last February, I thought Stone looked really good in this game.
Honestly, he played so well that I wouldn't mind him playing some more minutes.
The question is just who do you take out?
I wouldn't honestly mind Valley sitting for a bit. Not, like...
Is Valley still waiver exempt?
Possibly, I think. But even if he's not, like, having Valimaki...
He is waiver exempt.
Yeah. So, like, even if Valimaki sits and watches a few games and is, like, given, like, an actual instruction sheet of, these are things that you need to look for to improve in your game while watching. You know, it can be a helpful tool to a young player, and that's not to say Valmaki's been bad, but Stone was actually rather good, and
I think, you know, more than having Valley watch, I'd rather give him that instruction set and say, you know, go try those for the Stockton Heat, now in Celsius, the Canadian version of the Stockton Heat, and, you know, take these things we want you to do and go do them there.
Yeah, that's possible too. And or conversely, you set Nesterov and have Stone on the right side, which is doable as well.
I think Stone could bring some veteran help to Valimaki, because he's played in this league where Nesterov hasn't in a little while.
Yeah, and honestly, I think that Stone playing so well just gives another tool in the toolbox for Sutter to play with. And, you know, it's sort of like how the Flames acquired Forbort last year.
I was just about to say that. So, I mean, our GM, Brad, I was about to say Darryl, but our GM, Brad Treliving, loves to go out of the deadline the last couple of years and just bring in random defensemen. He's done it for the last couple, and when I see Stone playing the way he is, I'm thinking, well, we got the defensive depth. We don't need to give up a fourth for random defenseman number seven.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, like, if Forbort was a good number five, six guy, and if Stone plays like he did in that game, then you basically got your acquisition internally, and yay, no problem there.
Yeah, I just don't want to see Valley, he's 22, sitting and watching. I'd rather give him that list, send him to Stockton, and at least get some reps in, and maybe get some reps in on a higher pairing there, too.
Yeah. Oh, he'd be getting first line, like 25 minutes a game type of thing.
And maybe that's what he needs to get going.
Yeah.
And because it's, I mean, because they're not in Stockton, he's still there. They can still work with him. Hosker can still chat with him. Like, he's only at, you know, he's just down the hall.
Yeah. You've been banished to the other hallway.
That's right. Do you remember when you were playing minor hockey and you'd, you know, have to walk down the hallway and figure out what dressing room you were in, and you're either in, you know, evens or odds because there's two ice surfaces? It's kind of the same thing. It's like, oh, okay, I just got to move across the hall to the other one. You're going from just one room to the other. Just, you know, two doors down and on the left.
Yeah.
No, not that one. That's the Hitman one. Yeah, no, you're right. That one there.
Keep going. That's you're right. Good.
That's right. So, you know, so I just think instead of having them watch, if you do want to get Stone sometime, since Valley is waiver exempt, send him down, let him play, get his game going again by getting him reps.
Yeah, and it's not like Valimaki's been bad. He's been a legit third-pairing defenseman this year. It's just, you know, it's one of those where if you're wanting to play Stone more, just because you like the tool of his slap shot in the lineup and his veteran presence, then, you know, that's a viable alternative, which prior to this game we didn't even know we had, really, because Stone at times last year looked kind of, you know, bad, but he's looked better in this game than it, I think, at any point last year as well, so we'll see.
Depending on how much cap space you want to tag up, you actually save almost $200,000 by putting Valimaki down and keeping Stone up. So there might be a little bit of a cap bank you can make on that.
Yep. And at this point, any dollar helps. Especially if you go and decide to buy, you know, like that extra defenseman that you need.
Who needs right wingers? We need more defensemen.
Yes, you know, that's why I want to convert defensemen to wingers.
I was about to say that. I was thinking, just get them all, and Matt will pick one to convert to a right winger. Problems are solved. Yeah,
exactly. You know,
we don't need to get a right winger in the offseason. Find us a right shooting defense. Don't even get a right shoot. We'll train him to shoot right, and then we'll convert him to right wing, and we'll solve our problems.
Yes, Shillington, figure it out.
Well, Stone seems to be kind of the odd man out for everything. So, hey, Michael, you want another deal next year? Learn how to play wing. We've already paid you to go away and come back and then, you know, put you in the farm. We're playing hokey pokey with you. Let's just put you on right wing, too.
Yeah, why not? We're playing Moneyball here. Come on.
Take your $3 million in, put your $3 million out, take your $3 million in and shake it all about. Like, you know, we paid him to go away and then we paid him to come back. I wish my boss would do that. Here's $3 million to go away. Just kidding. We'll bring you back for a third of that.
Yep. Oh, good times.
Anyway. So where does this leave the Flames? After this game, the Flames are now 36 games played. The most in our division, tied with Ottawa. Actually, no, Vancouver has 37. And we're 35 points, which puts us in fifth place. We're 2 points down out of Montreal. Montreal is at 37 points, holding down the fourth spot in the north. And they only have 31 games played because of their cancellation of their series with Edmonton. So they've got 5 games in hand on us, and they're 2 points up. So yeah. That's where we are right now.
And the thing is that looking at the respective schedules for each of the teams, Calgary, like, you know, being down 2 points and all of that, like, that's not ideal, especially with the other team having 5 games in hand. However, Montreal, through the remainder of their season, like, they do not play the Vancouver Canucks again at any point. So that's one of the two lesser teams in our division that they're completely finished with. And they only play Ottawa 3 more times. So of their 25 games, 22 are against Calgary, Winnipeg, Ottawa, or Edmonton, and Winnipeg. Like, they're all of the good teams that are fighting for playoff spots and positioning, that's who they're playing, game in, game out.
Well, I think the kind of the nuts and bolts of this is they have 5 games in hand, and we play them 5 more times.
True. And on the positive side for the Flames, they play Vancouver 3 times in between now and the 10th of April. They play Ottawa again a couple times, which that hasn't been good. 4 times in total for Vancouver and 2 against Ottawa. So, you know, a quarter of the schedule there is against those two teams, and then the 5 games against Montreal. So more than half of our games are against the lesser teams, and 10 are against the better teams. So, you know, it's one of those where, like, the cards are kind of stacked in the Flames' favor if they actually put the effort forward that they could pass Montreal and get that playoff spot. They're only 2 points back. They have
at this point, we're tied with Vancouver. Are you worried about Vancouver?
No, just because everything has gone wrong for the Flames this season. The coaching staff got fired. A new coaching staff is in. None of the players have played on the same page. And we're tied with them with games in hand. And they've basically been okay all season. So, like, unless they figure out how to generate, like, several other scoring players from their lineup, which they don't have, I don't really see Vancouver. They might pass Montreal, they might pass us. I just don't see a scenario where they pass both Montreal and us to make the playoffs.
I was on our friend of the show, Kevin Olenek's podcast, the hockey podcast, at the beginning of the year, and they were saying, they're asking me if I think that Hughes in Vancouver is going to be a Norris Trophy candidate. I said, no, I don't think Vancouver's going to look this good. And I got a lot of flack. So, Kevin, if you guys are listening, I told you guys Vancouver wasn't going to look good.
Yeah, they're bad.
They are.
They're really, really bad.
And like you said, they've been putting, like, they haven't had everything go wrong for them, and they're tied with us. We have had underperformance and losing or firing a coach, and, you know, we've had a lot of bumps in the road, and we are where we are. So, yeah, I agree with you. I don't think the Vancouver is the problem right now. I think we just have to figure out how to get past the Canadian.
Yeah, and realistically, with the 5 games in hand, like, at best, I could see Montreal winning 3 of them. I don't see them winning, like, 4 or 5 of those games in hand just because of the quality of their opponents. And I could even see them going, like, 1-4 just because they're playing all good teams. So
You were saying before we started recording today, they have quite a busy schedule, too, in April.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Because of COVID and them being shut down, from the 5th of April to the 20th of April, which is 16 days, they play 10 games. 10 games. 3 against Edmonton, 2 against Toronto, 2 against Winnipeg, and 2 against us, with 1 against Ottawa. So, like, 10 games in 16 days. Like, they're going to need extra guys just because of the fact that, like, that many games, like, they have two, three games.
Well, they're
AHL
teams in Laval, so they can get guys back and forth pretty quickly.
You know, like, they have a three game and four night to start that, then it ends with a five game and seven night thing.
How many of those are on the road?
Only three. But still, like, it's just a lot of hockey. And, like, you see, like, when the Flames are playing game three and four nights, like, they're tired usually. And, like, if you're playing 10 games in 16 days, like, the ninth and tenth games especially, and, you know, like, any of them, really, they're going to be tired. Because they don't, like, they only have, like, one off day in between each section. Like, there's not, like, multi-day breaks for them either. So, like, they're really jammed in there. And Calgary does play them. And then once they're done that 10-game and 16-day stretch, they play the Flames three more times. Like, day off game, day off game, day off game.
So, I mean, if we look at it, and I think it's very reasonable to look at those five games between Calgary and Montreal as being probably the difference from one of those teams making it or not making it. When I look at it that way, our fate is in our own hands.
Yeah, and especially, like, at the end of that section of the 10 games in 16 days, like, that's games 6 and 7 of those, and then they follow that up with the three games immediately after that 10-game and 16-day marathon. So, like, Calgary, like, they're going to be getting a fairly tired team when they do face them during that stretch, and then an exhausted team after that stretch.
Well, let's just compare and contrast this to Calgary's April schedule, shall we?
Sure.
So, Calgary on the 2nd has Edmonton in Edmonton, and I don't look at that as much of a road trip. I mean, you can get to Edmonton and back in
a day,
you know, same day.
Driving, you know. Driving.
Yeah, I mean, you could leave after the Edmonton game. It's 7 o'clock start. You could still be back in your bed that night.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they go up the day of. Then they're back home for four games for almost a week. So they play back-to-back Toronto, and then 2 days off, and then Vancouver, day off Vancouver. Then 2 days off, and then they go to Eastern Canada, Toronto, Montreal, back-to-back, day off Montreal, day off, day off. Back home for almost a week and a half versus Ottawa back-to-back, day off versus Montreal, day off versus Montreal, day off versus Montreal, day off. So, I mean, Calgary's playing almost the same number of games, but they're not playing every other. They've got, you know, every week they've got almost a two-day break. Actually, every week they have at least a two-day break. So they're going to get some time there to rest and recover, and especially on the week of the 4th when you're 2 days, it's all a homestand, and the 18th, the week of the 18th, it's all a homestand. Like, you know, you don't have travel days. So I think the Flames have a much better positioned April than the Habs do.
Yeah, well, Montreal plays 17 games in April in the 30 days. Like, that's a lot of hockey. And, like, Calgary,
we play 14.
Yeah, like, it's less, though. And, mm-hmm. You know, like, it that does make a difference. And, you know, I'm just looking for a second to see, like,
So we have 14 games.
That actually does not include the makeup games either. Okay. There's 22.
I didn't think it did, because those will come in. Those should come in May.
Yeah. So, like, the 22 games that comprise their on-paper schedule, that still leaves three games remaining. So, like, that's just a ridiculous part of their schedule that doesn't include the makeup games, which there is a number of spots in May that they could
possibly. I think the league has said that they're the week after the season's done, they're gonna have all the makeup games take place that week if they can.
Yeah, which makes sense.
I mean, the nice thing then is, if let's say Calgary doesn't have any makeup games, we may have an opponent who does, and we might be sitting and waiting for them and resting for a week while the other team is, you know, playing for their lives.
Yeah.
So that could be the difference there as well.
Yeah, and like, what I would ideally like to see is those games not even matter. And, you know, then
and at that point you wonder if you'd play them. Like,
yeah,
you know, let's say it was Ottawa Vancouver who had to play each other in a makeup, and it wasn't for the playoffs. You wonder if they'd even play it.
Yeah, and like I think if it impacted the draft standings, maybe. Or like say like Edmonton plays Montreal, and Edmonton is like 1 point behind Winnipeg for first, say. Well, then I think they'd play that game just to, you know, if that's the only impact. But, yeah, I think it just depends largely.
I agree. And, I mean, if we look at the rest of the schedule, so Pat Steinberg did a really good article that was posted on Flames Nation this weekend. And I'll just go through some of what Pat said here. He's done all the math. But the Flames have 20 games remaining. At 16-17-3, Calgary's technically 2 points back of Montreal for the fourth and final North Division playoff spot. However, if you take a closer look, you can really break down where we're at. And as we talked about, we have 5 games left against Montreal. We have, you know, 20 games total. But if we break that down, almost half of Calgary's remaining schedules against the two teams they've had the most success against. Montreal, who they're 3-1-0 against, and Vancouver, who they're 4-2-0 against. That's almost half the remaining schedule right there. The bad news is that they have only 9 wins combined against the other 4 teams in the North, who they play for the other 11 games. So, you know, we've talked about this team being inconsistent, and to me there, you have no choice but to beat Montreal. Hopefully you're going to beat Vancouver, and you've just got to squeak out some wins against the other guys. And with a lot of back-to-backs, like back-to-back Toronto, back-to-back Toronto-Montreal, I think the biggest thing is you've got to beat those. You got to beat Montreal, you got to beat Vancouver, and I think you've got to win one of each back-to-back.
Yeah. Exactly, and, like, frankly, they need to put Ottawa away, finally, in the last 2 games that they face against them on the 19th and 20th of April. And, like, that the thing is that if the Flames, like, say over the next week, between that now and our next recording on Saturday, if we're starting to see the effort and the system starting to come together, you should be able to see the Flames take a game against Toronto on merit, not due to the goaltender winning it. And, like, we should be steamrolling Vancouver, and we should be steamrolling Montreal, and we should be steamrolling Ottawa.
And the big test this week is going to be the Edmonton game.
Yeah, I agree. And, like, frankly, like, I think that the Flames really do need to get at least a split between Winnipeg and Vancouver to close out March. Ideally, you win both, but when have the Flames this season done the ideal thing? As long as they're continuing down that path of getting all of the system play and the effort level up and ramping it up and ramping it up, that's the important thing. The results, they're important, but they're less so until, you know, like, as long as there's that forward progress, because if they can get the system and the effort level up, the wins naturally will come just because all of the opponents in the division are bad.
Yeah, but I mean, we need wins, and we need wins quick. So we can't spend more than this week getting that effort level up, because I think as soon as April comes, this team's got to start putting up W's or they're going to be out of this real quick.
True. And, like,
We don't want to be in a position where we're relying on Montreal to do poorly for us to make the postseason.
Yeah. Well, like, especially, like, what's concerning is that Montreal's next 4 games are a pair against Edmonton and a pair against Ottawa. Like, it's the two against Ottawa. Like, frankly, they'll probably win those. But, like, that's two of Montreal's last 3 easy games the rest of the season, including, like, makeup games. Like, they're playing full dollar opponents the rest of the way, and, you know, like, it's gonna be tough for them. And, like, Calgary just needs to keep it, like, within 2 or 4 points as things go until they start actually playing Montreal.
I think, Matt, honestly, and we'll talk more about the trade deadline next week because we're running a little long this week, but the trade deadline's coming up on the 12th of April, which is, what, 2.5 weeks from now? I think that, like you said, we're ramping up on, you know, how well we're doing and seeing if we can get that system in place. But I think, really, the Edmonton game and then the back-to-back Toronto over Easter weekend on the 4th and 5th, by the end of that Toronto game, you have to decide if you're going to buy, sell, or hold. Like, I think this period is about not just getting W's, but you've got to figure out if you're going to buy, sell, or hold at the end of that.
Yeah, and, like, if you're if the Flames do start putting the parts together and, say, winning 3 of the 5 or 4 of the 5, and, like, you're starting to get the actual results of it, then naturally you go find that right winger to put with Gaudreau and Monahan for the playoffs. Period. Figure it out. Doesn't matter who. Just get a legit top 9 right winger. Throw him there. That's your
Michael
whole
Stone?
Shop. Exactly. Or Shillington. You know, like, it doesn't matter. You can get a depth defenseman and throw one of those guys up. Everything works. It just depends.
I got the solution. Alex Petrovic.
Matthew Phillips. There you go.
Well, Phillips is already a forward. You're not converting a defenseman then, Matt. That's your whole thing.
Well, we're getting another short guy in there. So, you know.
If you want to convert a defenseman, go get Alex Petrovic.
Yeah. Connor Mackey, you're not doing anything down in Stockton. Get up here.
or hey, if you really want to make a move, Zags, take those pads off.
Yep.
Parsons, you're not turned out of the way we thought you would in goal. Let's see what you got up front.
Yeah, Parsons, you're hurt too much. Go body check some people.
There you go. But yeah, no, I think that that's really what this week's going to be about, is can we string together, like you were saying, not necessarily wins, but can we string together enough good games playing the Daryl Sutter system to show we can do this? Or do we have to then start reflecting on the 5th? Now there's a one-week quarantine for players coming in and out of Canada. Do we have to say by the 5th, you know what, it's time to look around and see what we can sell?
Yeah. And I think that realistically, like, the writing will be on the wall. Like, if, say, Montreal wins the 4 games between now and the 5th, and the Flames lose, like, 3 or 4 of those games, then you're done at that point. And then it's just sell off anything that moves and, you know, go to town on selling.
As much as I don't want to see it, I think this could be the most... I should preface this. I think this could be the most pivotal week of the season for the Flames because of that. And as much as I don't want to see it, I think the second most pivotal could be the week in May when we have 4 games. And I could see 2 or even 3 of those games being the deciding factor for playoffs.
Yeah. And frankly, what I would ideally like to see is the Flames putting themselves in a position where it makes rational sense to go get that middle six right winger. And, like, as you saw with the Eric Staal trade, the buy prices shouldn't be overly excessive. And, like, the Flames have the Oilers' third round pick this year. So, like, we have an extra pick to deal with. So, you know, like, you should be able to find a skill guy that you could throw on that line. And that way
you're... But at the same time, if we're struggling to even make the playoffs, is it worth going out
and spending
an asset for a
winner? Yes, yes, yes. Normally, no, because of, you know, like, if we're in the Pacific Division, no. But because of how this year's system is set up, and the fact that all the Canadian teams are bad, if the Flames are actually playing and on a roll, they make the conference finals.
Like, I'll tell you what, we'll talk more about the deadline next week. You come up with some names of guys you think would fit well in the Daryl Sutter system who play right wing. Not defensemen we're going to convert, but right wingers for next week who you think would play well that we could get for that price.
Well, there's one that I would really like, but...
We'll talk about next week. Bring that name next week. We'll talk about
Raquel.
That next week once we have a better look at where the Flames are at, and we'll talk about who we might... Based on where they are, who they might bring in, who they might send out.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that next week.
Raquel.
Well, if they're adding, but
yeah.
We may have to subtract. And
yeah,
at that
true.
Point, you don't bring Raquel in. So let's
true.
Talk about this next week once we
I know.
See where the Flames are at coming to the 5th.
Raquel.
And if you if you want Raquel, what are you going to give up for him? And again, we'll talk about next week. You're not getting Raquel for that third from the Oilers.
No, of course.
So we'll talk about that next week. If you want that third in play, what do you get back for the third? Or if you want Raquel, what's the asking price? And is that too much? But we'll cover that next week.
Yep. Weekly predictions.
Weekly predictions. I think unless there's anything else about this team, I think we're at that point
where it needs to be 3-0.
You know, it's we got three games in the docket this week. We have the 29th, the end of the Winnipeg series, which is an 8 p.m. start time in Calgary. Then Calgary makes a quick road trip to Vancouver for an 8:30 p.m. start time on the 31st. That's a late game for us. And then Friday will be a hockey night in Canada on Good Friday. 7 p.m. start time, and then we'll be recording before the Sunday Toronto game, so we'll only predict those three. So three games this week, and two teams that are above us in the standings.
Really, there is no other. They need three wins, period. And, like, anything less than that...
Matt, your idea last week didn't work. You told me that the Flames tend to do what I predict. I gave us four wins, and we got three losses.
Yeah, well, you were going to predict three losses.
Just in a different order.
Yeah, exactly. So, you see, you already came in with that pessimism. You know, you have to come in with the optimism for it to work.
All right, so maybe the idea is we got to go with my gut, but my gut needs to be a little more optimistic.
Exactly.
All right, well, I'll tell you what I was going to do this week. I think, well, it would be nice to get three wins. I don't see that based on what we've seen this season. I mean, our season-long win streak is three games, and those have been achievements to get there. I think we're going to see two wins. I think you're going to see a win against Winnipeg. I think you'll see a win against Vancouver, and sadly, I think we'll see a loss against the Oilers because they seem to be our kryptonite.
Yeah, I can see that.
So I'm going to say of the 6 points available, we're going to get four of them.
Okay.
I could see maybe getting a point against the Oilers, but I'll go with 4 points.
I'll go with the full meal deal, 6 points, just because that's what, you know, it's not what I expect because I actually think it'll be two as well and the same as you predicted. But, you know, it's more, this is what we actually need right now, so... Go get the three wins.
Or break now, right? I mean, you and I have talked for a while in this season about, it's okay, they're losing. They can get it back later. They can get it back. There is no more later. Like, we're coming into the last full month of the season.
Yeah. And realistically, you have to beat one team. Like, it's not that... And you're only 2 points back. Yeah, they have extra games, but they're also playing all of the good teams. So... You know, like, realistically, you just have to do your own work. Because Montreal's not the best team anyway, they're going to lose a good portion of those games just because, A, their opponent, and B, that they're playing 10 games in 16 days. They're going to lose a lot. So, you just have to do your own homework, and you're in the playoffs. That's it. You just win. You know... Like, honestly, if the Flames go 13-7, they're playing in the playoffs. Like, I don't see Montreal even being 500, frankly, the rest of the way. Just because both the opponents and how packed their schedule is.
Yeah, I think you're right. We have to take care of our own business. And if we can take care of our own business, I think we can be in. But I don't want this to come down to... You know, in May, that we're tied with Montreal and it's who can win two games first or whatever it's going to be. Like, I think, like you said, take care of your own business, do your own homework, as you said, and, you know, get yourself the points you need. Don't rely on somebody else not getting points.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be, at this point, whichever team can take care of their own business is going to be the one that goes in the playoffs.
Yeah. And frankly, you know, if the Flames get there, they will have been on a roll in order to get there. Then at that point, it's literally anybody's game. And it doesn't really matter which of the three teams that are ahead, because I don't see realistically any chance that Calgary catches any of Winnipeg, Toronto, or Edmonton unless they, like, really really, really badly screw up through the rest of the season. So, you know, like, the Flames, you know, if they're on that roll, it's a jump ball for who goes on from that series. So, you know, they just have to get there. And I think that, like, Sutter's mantra of, you know, as long as you get there, anything can happen. You know, I think that that is evident this year, and they just have to get it done on the ice.
And I think that, you know, trying to think that we're going to be higher than fourth, I think is unrealistic. I think right now we can't even look at that of could we beat somebody else. We just have to worry about, like you said, getting to the dance, even if that is fourth place.
Yeah, because realistically, especially with this division, it doesn't matter. Like, normally, like, you're playing in a really good elite team if you're the last team in the playoffs from your division. This year, it's like, are any of the teams better than any of the others? Not really. Like,
yeah, and even the best team. I mean, I don't want to spend too much time talking about our opponents at this point, but even Toronto has gone on streaks where they haven't looked great this season. So,
well, like, honestly, like, if Montreal makes the playoffs and they play Toronto, I could easily see Montreal beating Toronto. I could see Montreal beating any of those three teams. Like, just like I could see Calgary beating any of those three teams, or any of those teams beating Montreal or Calgary. It's literally a jump ball on who wants it.
We want to know what you guys think. Do you think Calgary can make it in? Do you think that Calgary has a chance to make it past the fourth seed, or should we just focus on that fourth seed? Let us know. Interact with us as always. You can phone us, leave us a voicemail, or send us a text. Our phone number is 587-200-7176. Don't worry, Matt and I aren't going to answer and talk to you. Nobody wants that, but you can just leave us a voicemail, send us a text, whatever's best. Or you can get a hold of us on Twitter, where...
Yeah, otherwise Dan's just going to leave, like, those coaching messages for
That's
you,
right.
And he'll talk to you in the soft
there
tones, and, yeah, nobody
we can
wants
make it
that.
To third?
And that's it for
what do you
caller.
Think it takes to shut?
Or you're going to get different types of
what
callers.
What do you think it takes to shut down Auston Matthews?
So if you don't want that, leave us a voicemail, leave us a text. We won't talk to you. We won't whisper sweet nothings into your phone. If you're worried and you don't believe me that I'm not going to do that, you can get a hold of us on Twitter. We're at Fireside Podcast. We can't whisper to you there. Or on Facebook. We're facebook.com/firesidechat. We also can't whisper to you there. Or go to our website, firesidechat.ca, and leave us a message through our contact form. But let us know what you think. Do the Flames still have a shot? And what's it going to take? And as we go into the deadline, what kind of moves do you want to see the Flames making? So we know Matt wants Rickard Rakell. He probably doesn't want us whispering to him sweetly to get him to come to Calgary. But, let us know who you want to see here. So, Matt, do you want to take us out?
Well, as always, go Flames, go.
Fireside Chat is hosted by Dan Stevenson, co-hosted by Matt DeBorg. This episode produced and edited by Peter Marino. Fireside Chat is licensed under Creative Commons license. For full license details, visit firesidechat.ca.